all farmers and ranchers. North Dakota Farmers Union wants to walk you through the carbon conundrum. Learn how carbon affects your operation at the Evolution Ag Summit. The one-day event on February 21st in Jamestown features speakers from ADM, CHS, Anheuser-Busch, NDSU, Midwest Ag Energy, NRCS, Bushel, and more. Go to ndfu.org and click on Evolution Ag to register. That's ndfu.org.
Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Heading to Bismarck. There's a legislative session going on, and we check in with the Public Policy Director for North Dakota Farm Bureau, Pete Hanabit. How are you doing, Pete?
Life is great, and it's busy around the Capitol this time of the year, of course. We're through maybe the first quarter of things, if you want to look at it that way, by month. Things are really clipping at a regular kind of pace now. And so we've heard a lot of exciting things. And one of the biggest ones that people talk about is last Friday when we talked about the corporate farming bill in the House Ag Committee. And that drew a lot of attention from folks. Obviously, it's a very contentious issue with a long history here. North Dakota Farm Bureau has had a longstanding policy to do away with the laws that govern our corporate, quote-unquote, corporate farming things here. We feel that a person ought to be able to form any kind of business structure they want, and they ought to be able to have whoever they want as partners in their farming business. Other folks don't believe in that. And so this bill is distinctively a carve-out for livestock. It limits the amount of acreage involved. It does not, the governor in his press conference, does not allow corporate farming in North Dakota. And what it does do is allow a carve out for specific businesses with specific small acreage amounts and people to choose the business structure that they want. And we feel like it's a step in the right direction. It's obviously not everything that Farm Bureau wants, but it's a step in the right direction to help us try to stem the tide of losing all the animal agriculture that's in North Dakota. We've lost, when I moved here less than 10 years ago, we had close to 100 dairy operations, and now we're down to 50-some. And we just can't keep doing that and expect to be, a viable dairy state or an ag state at all other than just grains. And so this is an opportunity for us to change the way we do business structure in agriculture and allow people to start bringing livestock back to the state so that our grain farmers have a market that doesn't depend on the West Coast or Duluth.
Now, the opponents, obviously, A, don't like change, but B, also are concerned that this would allow corporations to come in. The limit is not more, it's less than 160, so it'd be 159.9 acres, but then there could be many entities in a corporation to own many parcels of land, and this is the camel's nose gets under the tent. And how do we, can that be prevented?
Well, I think there's a perception thing versus a reality. What people in the general public need to understand that there are very few states that have any kind of law like ours. Ours is the most restrictive in the country. And Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, those states have not had laws like ours. And so if a corporate entity, meaning some Wall Street conglomerate, wanted to farm in one of those I states, why wouldn't they already? So why would they choose to come to North Dakota versus one of the I states that have year in and year out a more profitable opportunity because of the weather conditions?
Yeah.
So I think people get scared of the unknown versus what is reality everywhere else at the ag community in the Midwest. And the laws that are on the books in Minnesota and Nebraska and all that do not affect a family business structure like ours do. You know, I come from a state originally where we had no laws like this. And some of the best farm operations were run by families that were two completely unrelated people. And they had a corporate structure so that the kids from those two families could inherit and manage the taxes and those kinds of things. And it was not a situation. It's not like, Eli Lilly being one of the biggest companies in Indiana, they weren't farming in Indiana except their research plots, you know.
Sure.
And so I don't think the perception is the reality, but people can get awfully scared of the perception when the right lies are told.
Well, it is a topic that has polarized agriculture in North Dakota, but one that might have everybody on the same side, foreign ownership. Now, that's a bill that's in the legislature. Describe that one for us.
Yeah, there are several bills. There are several House bills and a Senate bill, and many of them have good intentions to make sure that people who are hostile to America, hostile to North Dakota, will not be involved in owning assets in this state. A lot of this comes out of the Grand Forks situation with a plant being owned by Chinese or whatever interests. And I think most of the people have very good intentions of finding some way to make sure that those who are, you know, definitely our foreign enemies do not start into business in this country, let alone in this state. There is one of the bills that we have a task force in Farm Bureau that looks at bills and decides which ones we think we should more closely scrutinize and prioritize. And our task force tended to like the Senate bill more than the House bills. Each of the House bills has some kind of flaw with it in our members' minds, and so we stayed away from the House bills this morning that were heard, and we'll be involved with the Senate bill. And they're all in a general way saying this group, whatever it is, as an outside foreign entity or something along those lines, should not do business in this state. And they each have a different way of going about it. One of the bills would set up a commission. Some of the bills were just straight out, thou shalt not. But then, you know, you argue over who's going to decide who the foreign entities are that are either favored or not favored. And the Senate bill tends to track things according to who folks at our U.S. State Department say are enemy combatants, basically. You know, our State Department at the federal level has a list of these countries are not good for us to deal with, and those countries are. And the Senate bill seems to follow that model a little more closely, and it made more sense to our committee when we got them together and asked them for their advice on it. So we're probably going to support the Senate bill more than anything else.
No bills yet on foreign balloons floating over North Dakota yet, but anyway, that's...
not that I have heard of. I guess anything is possible, but I have not necessarily heard of that one specifically, so okay. No, I don't think so.
All right, Pete Hannibut, Public Policy Director for the North Dakota Farm Bureau. What else is high on the list of what's under your microscope?
Sure. North Dakota Farm Bureau has had a policy for a long time and been pro-animal agriculture for a long time. We've pushed to expand animal agriculture in this state, and House Bill 1423 is one of the bills that does that. It fixes some of the problems that have been, in our system, where the system has been used against farmers who want to expand in the animal agriculture field, and the game has been rigged against some people. And mostly it's not so much the county government or township government per se, but some personalities within certain townships have used the system in a rather unfair way. And North Dakota Farm Bureau has won several lawsuits in this regard. And what we would like to do is fix the system once and for all so that townships and counties don't get themselves in trouble and end up being sued by someone. And so we'd like to just make it that everybody is on the same page. Everybody understands what the rules are. And if you stay within the rules, either, you know, as a county, a township, or a producer that wants to expand into animal agriculture, if you follow the rules, then you're good to go and you follow the rules. The problem is folks who have gone beyond the rules and what the code says, and then use that to limit animal agriculture. And there are some folks that don't want anything in their backyard, and there are some folks who, you know, would like to expand animal agriculture. And so somewhere we have to find a way to make a legal business more palatable in the eyes of rural people. And so we think that 1423 does that in a lot of ways. It had great support from the Ag Commissioner and the soybean folks. Even the Association of Counties was in favor. And so we think this bill is moving the right direction, that it gets all the stakeholders together and says, you know, this will be great to help with the expansion of animal agriculture in our state. So that's House Bill 1423. There's a bill that gets under our craw, as it were, about annual sessions. We have had policy for a long time that says the legislature should remain biennial. And it's kind of that Hippocratic Oath thing, you know, first do no harm. And so when the legislature is in session, our members see that they could do some harm, and having them not here and not in session is a safer bet. And so We've seen the history of legislatures when they've gone from biennial to annual, and how that has increased government, how that has increased the role of government, budgets, and everything has expanded in those states. Most recently, I guess, maybe would be Oregon and how their government grew and their budget exponentially grew and all that. And we just don't want to see that here. We kind of feel like if we could do it with the money that we spend per capita in this state with our oil and money, and if Texas can do it with a landmass and a budget bigger than most places in Europe, we ought to just stay with what has worked for us and not use the idea that, well, we've got term limits now, so we have to meet more often. That seems to be what some people are thinking. And the idea that term limits is here to stay is maybe not true. And the idea that we need to have annual sessions to compound the problem of term limits doesn't seem to make too much sense to our members either.
Another pillar of the North Dakota Farm Bureau, less government coming down the farmstead driveway. So very good.
Pete, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. All righty. Pete Adibut, Public Policy Director, North Dakota Farm Bureau, with an update on what's happening in Bismarck at the biennial legislative session. Thank you, Pete, for the update. And again, folks out there listening, if you support or disagree with legislation that's on that Pete's talked about, contact your local senator or representative and let them know. And Pete, thank you for letting us know what's going on.
Thanks, Mick. Appreciate being on with you today.
You are very welcome.